please forever to the King of Kings.
Yeah, Father, we thank you that you are the King of Kings. We give you praise and we give you glory. So, Father, we thank you for Matt, for his word that he's going to bring tonight. We pray that you would speak through it tonight. And may you challenge us and shape us as we hear this word. Amen.
Storm is back. Well, I know you didn't really sit on it last night, but I might tonight after football. I am out of practice. Evening all.
Evening.
Night two, all the car kicking in. Evening all.
Evening.
Oh, me. 8:15, start tomorrow. Hope you're all ready for a 92-hour sermon now. Anyway, let's crack on tonight. Who can remember the three words I kind of started out with at the very beginning of last night? Shout out to me. 3, 2, 1.
I love you. I love you.
So, let's try it again, all in sync, baby. Up to 3. 1, 2, 3.
Your life matters.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. Your life matters too. Write that down at the top of your page. If you've got a new page, write that down. Doesn't just matter to me. It just matters to the leaders here, but most importantly, it matters to God tonight as we gather, as we worship, as we hear from God's word. And may I remind you just of our text I'm going to put up on the screen, hopefully, for us. And I'm going to read it back out to you, found in Kings. It was a bit like this. You're going to hopefully know it off by heart by the time we leave here. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon his son. I'm about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him, and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do, and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and all their soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. So last night, we spoke about deciding to live courageously. Deciding to live courageously. And I hope as we begin tonight, we might make another decision. Decide to live obediently. Decide to live obediently. What is obedience? Well, I've got two quick little videos that maybe might show us a little bit of an insight as to what obedience is. Let's click you the first video. It's quite short, but give it a watch.
Talk, I give my...
maybe it's not.
That's just my sound for that one.
Dog.
That's a Labrador.
That was quite impressive, right? I think it's quite cool. So you get dog. Oh yeah. There's a whole video on YouTube of this, right? So you can watch it another time. But let's watch the next video if we can. This, I think, is Matt Wall's dog.
Oh no.
Just look a little bit like George.
That face. My dog definitely knows when they've done something wrong. Neither of them are my dogs, by the way. I do a number of different pictures of my dog if you want to look at them another time. But I haven't quite got a video of her being naughty, but I know when she's been naughty because she has this little face like this. And she hides in her bed because she knows she's been naughty many a time. Those two videos, both I know they're very short, shows the difference in what we call obedience. Interestingly, the first dog has been so obedient that it's been trained to go and fetch a beer for its owner from inside the house whilst they're outside. That's quite impressive, I have to say. Meanwhile, the second dog, I presume has been left alone, I presume has been left by itself for a little while, and has decided to proceed to rip up the whole of a magazine or newspaper, and is looking rather guilty, wasn't it? So you see two different sides of obedience. One being obedient to its master, to its owner, and one maybe being less obedient. I wonder, do we fall into one of those categories tonight, maybe sometimes? See, the part of the text I want to focus on tonight is this. And observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him. And keep his decrees and commands. His laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses, do this so that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you go. See, David, just to remind you, is on his deathbed, isn't he? And there he is, talking to his son Solomon, encouraging him. There, observe what the Lord requires. Meaning, observe the law of God. And interesting what we see in this text, straight after that, those few words. Doesn't say sprint. Doesn't say run. It says walk in obedience to him. Life isn't this endless sprint of running around. Actually, God calls us to walk in obedience. Not at our own pace, but actually a pace which God sets for us, that allows us to keep in step with God. See, obedience, just like those dogs in their situation, obedience, just like courage last night, obedience is a choice. And to remind you again of last night, the one thing that I cannot control of yours is your will. And again, it comes down to your decision, your action, if you want to decide to live obediently. But why would we want to do such a thing? Why would we want to live obediently to God? That's probably the question we want to answer by the end of tonight. You see, David knew what it meant to be living in obedience to God. And what something is kind of playing out here in the text is something that's not written anywhere, but what we understand from David's own life and his own difficulties and his own mistakes, quite frankly. He wasn't a perfect person, quite frankly. He was imperfect on many different occasions. Though we remember David and Goliath and that story we mentioned yesterday, actually David was someone who was far, far from perfect. But nevertheless, as David speaks to Solomon, those unspoken things he's referring to, like what happened to Solomon's mother, everything else, David there in that moment encourages Solomon, encourages him, walk in obedience. You see, you can choose your sin. You can choose those mistakes sometimes. And as a result, you can't then choose your consequences. You can choose that sin. You can choose that thing which you know, quite frankly, isn't going to bring honour and glory to God. It isn't going to actually do you any good, ultimately, in your life. So David isn't speaking from theory. He's speaking from years of making mistakes and failure at moments in his life. And speaking from that well of experience, saying, hey, look, I've made mistakes. I messed up at times. Observe and walk in line with God. I want to tell you another story as to why we'd want to be obedient to God. And actually the impact it has on our lives. It's found in Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read it to you tonight. You can find it in your Bibles, but I'm going to read it out now just to save some time as well. So Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them, and they're washing their nets.
Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where the water is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked all last night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down my nets again." And at this time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought other partners in other boats. And soon those both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish he had caught, as were the others as well. His partners James and John and sons of Zebedee were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Jesus, at this point in Scripture in the New Testament, has already kind of started to do amazing things of healing people, transforming lives, and there he is, having crowds pressed in on him, so much so that he's out in a boat there teaching and speaking. And as he does so, there we find this lovely interaction with Simon Peter, saying, "Look, go out to the waters that are deeper, go out to those places where you may not have been last night, go to those places and fish." I wonder if you were in that position where you'd already tried something and it had not worked, would you have gone, "Nah, I'm alright, thank you"? Or would you have gone, "Yes, I'll give it a go"? Would you have been at that first dog or the second dog? See, in this story, the obedience led to that prosper. It led to that opportunity of seeing the glory and the majesty and the awesomeness of God in that moment of the miracle of the fishnets being so bulging that they had to go get another boat. Obedience is something which is powerful, something which is life-transforming. Interestingly, during the US Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, who had a bit of a weird, unorthodox faith, quite frankly, was with a number of ministers. And the story goes a little bit like this during the Civil War. The minister said to Abraham Lincoln, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." And Lincoln's response showed a far greater insight, interestingly. He said, "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side." Lincoln was reminding those ministers, in fact, saying, actually, religion is not at all by means of obtaining something to try to get God to do what you want to do. I remember when I was actually my girl's age and I would be sitting in my garden praying to God, going, "God, I need these very shiny Charizards right now. Like, just give me a shiny Charizard Pokemon card and we'll call it quits, and like, that's it, right? Me and you, God, I'm going to do this thing, this sounds cool, but I need a shiny Charizard by tomorrow, right?" And guess what happened? The shiny Charizard did not turn up. Like, "Hey, God, right, let's raise the stakes a bit. Let's get a Mewtwo and a Charizard and a Bulbasaur. Call it quits. I'll follow you, God." And the list would go on and on, and it never quite panned out in that very same way. I'm still waiting for that shiny Charizard. Probably worth quite a lot of money nowadays, but nevertheless, that's not how this relationship with God works. The invitation that David encourages Solomon to have is to walk in obedience to the Lord, to the things that God has set out for us in Scripture. They're there to help us, guide us, inspire us in our life. And those books that you have in front of you of God's Word, can I just encourage you, take some time to read them at some point. Take some time out of Lenten hall time to get involved in them, read them, just pick it up. Allow those words to speak to your situation, speak to your life. Obedience is a choice. But the fact is, obedience is life transforming. Because there we saw in this scripture
Simon Peter's life was completely transformed. He dropped what he was doing and followed Jesus. And there his life changed. There he got to see Jesus in action. There he got to see love in action. Obedience is an invitation for us tonight to follow Jesus, to be obedient to what God has called us to do. And there's one thing that I really want to encourage you. If you can, just look to the person next to you. Don't say anything ever. I mean, look to the other person next to you. One of the most important things as we grow up, as we mature, as we become who God wants us to be, one of the most important things for us to begin to understand is that we are not called to be like the person next to you. We're not called to look like them, to sound like them, to be like them. The most important thing for you is to be who God's called you to be, who God's made you to be. Because that's where the masterpiece is, that's where the creation is. You don't believe me, look up Ephesians 2:10, for you are God's handiwork, you are God's masterpieces. There's an invitation tonight, and I want to just invite the band up now, and I'll just tell you one final story if I can, as the band come up to just lead us as well. So come on up, band. Sometimes we can look at obedience as a bad thing or a negative thing. But actually, obedience is a life-giving thing. And the story I want to just tell you just very briefly, it's actually about Amelia, who's just gone out now. That's handy. But girls should be here. It's this. When Amelia was little, what we realised when the kids were growing up, as they kind of go through different milestone moments. One of the biggest significant moments is the first steps. I wonder if you can maybe talk to your loved ones at some point about those first step moments. And I can guarantee they can probably still remember them. And I remember it because when Amelia was getting ready to take her very first steps, it kind of became like the ITV studios in our house, with cameras everywhere, trying to like capture those moments of the very first steps. And I remember when it happened, when Amelia took those first steps, she kind of pushed herself off from the sofa where she was, and then kind of did like jelly legs, and she like took three steps, and fell down on the floor, onto the bottom. And in that moment, like, our house erupted with like joy and like just absolute excitement that she'd taken those very first steps. Now, what we didn't do in that moment was go, oh, what's she doing? She's a failure. I didn't turn to my wife and say, look, Amy, in my house, we run, okay? We're athletes. You've seen that today, right? In my house, like we get on our feet, we run around, we do everything. The opposite. We rejoice and celebrate because in that moment, she took those very first steps. Picked her up, put her back on her feet, or on the sofa really, and she did it again. Two or three more steps, fell on her feet again, turned the bottom again, got her back up, and repeated that process time in and time out. And as you can see, something's clearly worked because she doesn't stop running now. The reason why I tell that story is because it, as we were praying tonight before you came in, I think for some of us, we've yet to take that first step. We've not yet taken that step to say yes to God. Yes, I want to be obedient to you, Lord, because you love me, because you accept me, because actually you're there to pick me up when no one else is. Maybe for some of us, we've got ahead of ourselves. tried to sprint before we actually could learn to walk. And we kind of shot out the gate from a let it all or a point or from a gathering. And we've gone straight to the same old trap of temptation, of habits, things that just disconnect us from God. And there's a part of us that just tonight said, you know what, God, I want to be just obedient to what you've called me to do. So I just invite you to stand if you're able to do so. And as we stand together, I just invite you to God speak to you, enable you to worship. I invite you just to close your eyes. Because we all close our eyes, and if no one else can see us, we can't see anyone else. And don't be that person that is tempted and start looking at people with their closed eyes closed. I just really encourage you to close those eyes just for a few moments. It was just a normal day for Simon Peter. At the back of an amazing failure of catching nothing, Jesus comes out of nowhere and says, come, follow me. Today is no different. Today is just another normal day. But again, the message is the same as it was there in Scripture. Jesus says, come, follow me. The invitation tonight. So I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to pray it in your own minds and hearts if you feel comfortable or would like to do so. And that prayer is just simply saying, you know what? Yes, I want to follow. And that might be for the very first time for some of us. And that's a scary thing, I realise, to pray. And for some of us, that's to say, you know what? I feel I haven't really been obedient to those places before. I just want to start again. So say this prayer if you feel comfortable and like to do so in your own hearts as your eyes are still closed. Loving God, I choose to say yes. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the mistakes. But Lord, I choose to say yes to following you today. So with your eyes still shut, this is the brave bit, this is the bold bit, this is the courageous bit, with your eyes still shut. This is what we started yesterday with courage. With your eyes still shut, if you were someone who, for the very first time, said yes, said, you know what, this is for me, and could you be super duper 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 brave? Don't put your hand up high, just put your hand up so we can just so I can see. Only my eyes are open. So that's you, just in your own time, just put a hand up, just so I can see. There's been times where I've already said yes, but I haven't truly been obedient, and I want to do it. It's a fresh start, new beginnings, a
if that was you, if you prayed that, if you said that in your hearts, can I ask to be super duper bold again, courageous, and just I'll show a hand, to be super high, but just a show of a hand, just show for so that I can see. For those that put your hands up, can I just encourage you that there's space and there's time to pray? I'm going to love to pray for you. So I'll be at the front here. You can come see me, there'll be leaders at the sides as well. Or just can I give them a nod, or a wink, something to say, come over here. One of the major things that you've done tonight is to say yes, to be courageous, to say yes, I want to be obedient. And that's an amazing thing. So let's just worship now as we go on.
Thank you.